Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Trish reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Tuesday, June 16th, 2020, from the front page. Development. Planning and zoning approves change for barbershop. Residents begin effort to revitalize their East Side neighborhood by Mella McEwen, MMCEWEN, at MRT.com. Residents' efforts to revitalize an East Side Midland neighborhood took a small step forward during a Planning and Zoning Commission meeting, which was held remotely. Ramona Ruiz has requested a zone change from LI, Light Industrial, to RR, Regional Retail, on the western half of a lot at 511 North Tyler Street. Her plan is to convert a garage on the property into a barbershop. Ruiz, with the help of a friend, explained that her proposal has the support of neighbors, including an adjacent church, and the owner of the building that was the former location of Martinez Bakery. Noting that the property has been vacant for a number of years and is strewn with trash, Ruiz said her barbershop would provide not only a needed service, but would improve property values in the area. The church hopes to update its facility, and the owner of the site where the bakery used to be is also planning on opening a business there. They said they hope that would prompt homeowners in the area to make improvements to their homes. Rose Jasso, a former resident of the area, who now lives in California, called into the meeting to ask if Ruiz's project would impact her own plans to open a business in a building she owns across the street. Commission Chairman Josh Sparks said no, and that she would have to go through the same process as Ruiz and conform to the requirements of the light industrial zoning. Commissioner Kevin Wilton asked about parking spaces for a barbershop, and he was told there were as many as 5 parking spaces and that the adjacent church could use them for its services. The commissioners expressed concern that the building and the portion of the lot it sits on are far smaller than the minimum requirement under the city's code, which might hinder Ruiz's efforts to open the barbershop. But they unanimously approved the zone change. Commissioner Warren Ivey, who expressed concern that Ruiz would spend quite a bit of money on the project, only not to be able to move forward, nevertheless moved to approve the request. I like to see people taking ownership. Commissioner Chase Gardoff, who seconded Ivy's motion, agreed, applauding residents taking an active role in trying to improve their neighborhood, and Sparks agreed, especially hearing neighbors in the area are in favor of this and are even looking to do something similar when they get a chance in the future. That makes me more comfortable moving forward. Though he had reservations, Wilton also voted to approve the request in the hopes that Ruiz would succeed in opening her barbershop. Commissioners also unanimously approved a preliminary plat of a lot at North Tyler Street and East Texas Avenue. Applicant Schumann Engineering wanted to replat the lot into one lot in order to obtain construction permits. Jose Alfredo Zarate Mendez also had his request approved for a zone change from MF22, Multiple Family Dwelling District, to SF3, Single Family Dwelling, in order to build a house on a lot at 1708 East Texas Avenue. Coronavirus. Coronavirus cases in Midland topped 90 in June, by Stuart Doreen, as Doreen at HurstonP.com. The number of confirmed coronavirus cases this month heads towards 100. A large number of those were cases confirmed this weekend, as the Midland Health Department on Monday reported another 21 cases between Friday and Monday. The 21 cases over the weekend was more than all but 1 week during March and April. It also pushed the number of coronavirus cases reported in June to 93. That is a 72% increase in the number of confirmed cases in Midland County compared to the beginning of the month. The total number of cases during the pandemic moved to 222 in Midland County. Officials in Ector County reported 22 cases this week and 260 total. The Midland Health Department reported that younger Midland County residents again were the reason for increased numbers of cases. All confirmed cases this weekend involved those younger than 60. Most of those are in the age range. The most of any age range was 9 in between 30, ages 30 and 39. Midland County residents between the ages of 30 and 39 have made up the most cases during the pandemic at 42, or 18.92%, according to the information provided by the city. Of the 21 new cases in Midland County, the source of exposure for 10 was community acquired. Contact with a known case was second with 7. Those who listed travel as the source of exposure reportedly went to San Angelo, New Braunfels, Caddo, and Concan, which is located in Uvalde County. The health department also reported cases involving residents working at the following locations. Television station KMID, last worked June 9th. Drilling Tools International, last worked June 10th. Boretz, B-O-R-E-T-S, last worked June 12th. Stallion Oilfield Services, last worked June 8th. And West Texas Auto Brokers, last worked June 10th. None of those residents were reported to be in a customer-facing role, according to the city. 13 of the confirmed cases were male, and all 21 are self-isolating at home. The Midland Health Department reported that 86 of those 222 Midland County residents testing positive during the pandemic have recovered. 94 are in home isolation. 21 are in nursing or rehab facilities. 13 have died, and 5 are in the hospital, and 3 have completed isolation. Education. Survey shows desire for virtual classroom by Stuart Doreen. The 2020-21 calendar took center stage at the MISD board meeting last week. It was the topic du jour for board members and staff for more than 3 hours. And while the calendar had everyone's attention, there was other news that came from a district survey that will impact the upcoming school year. District leaders learned that 22.4% of parents surveyed would choose a virtual learning option, and another 33.4% said maybe or it depends. Also, 28.7% of teachers responded that they would wish to be considered to teach in a virtual setting, and another 37.1% said maybe or it depends. In other words, there seems to be enthusiasm about the virtual learning option Superintendent Orlando Riddick had talked about during the spring, and Midland ISD officials know they could move forward creating that option. Riddick started talking about this 21st century learning option during an April press conference about how the district was dealing with learning at home. During a May budget workshop, he told board members that regardless of the level of the coronavirus pandemic, he believed virtual learning would be a part of Midland ISD's future. He told trustees that Chief of Staff Katie Atkins was putting together a team to develop a plan to revive the virtual learning element in August. During the board's regularly scheduled meeting in May, Riddick clarified that a virtual learning option would be a choice for interested families. The survey gave Midland ISD an indication that there was interest. 55.8% of the 3,548 parents who responded and 65.8% of teachers. We are trying to make sure that we are proactive in addressing the needs of kids and parents who are concerned about returning to school. And they say we want to have a 100% virtual option or a hybrid or something to that degree, Atkins said. So that's what we're looking at, to kind of gauge so that we can prepare for that. What would that percentage look like? But we have in our mind how many those would be. Atkins said the district must identify those teachers interested in leading the online classroom. The survey was anonymous. And then creating the plan, whether it requires students to have a particular campus as their home base or whether they are equally distributed across the district. Working through what those logistics would be, those are conversations with our HR department and the financial department as far as where that goes. Then district officials must develop plans for those students who want to go all virtual and those who want a hybrid, in which they would be on campus for part of the day or part of the week. It depends on what the demand is at that point in time for students, Atkins said. We ask some very pointed questions so that we know how to deliver on the professional development side so we can have super quality instruction. With the start of the 2020-21 academic year a little more than 2 months away, Atkins said they will work quickly to meet their deadlines for the 100% virtual experience and or the hybrid. With coronavirus factoring into some parents' decision-making, they really won't have an option, she said. We have to prepare for whatever it is, Atkins said. Virtual learning survey, parents. If given the option for your child to participate in virtual learning, what would you choose that option? 22.4% said yes, 33.4% said maybe or it depends, and 44.2% said no. Virtual learning teachers. If given the option to teach in a virtual setting, would you wish to be considered for this opportunity? 28.7% said yes, 37.1% said maybe or it depends, 34.2% said no. Other technology-related questions. Devices in the home. 66.7% or at least one device in home for each child. 14.7% at least one device in home for every two children. 10.8% no devices in the home. The rest of those answering stated there was at least one device for three or more children. Teachers, devices in the classroom. 32.5% all of my students can access technology in my classroom at one time. 23.7%, one quarter of my students can access technology in my classroom at one time. 11.6%, half of my students can access technology in my classroom at one time. And 11.1% with three quarters of my students can access technology in my classroom at one time. 21.1% said my students do not have access to technology in my classroom. Rangers investigating in-custody death at Ector County Jail. By Caitlin Randall. The Texas Rangers are investigating an in-custody death at the Ector County Detention Center, according to a press release from the Ector County Sheriff's Office. The inmate, identified only as a 38-year-old black male, was booked in the jail at 1:30 a.m. Monday and was found unresponsive at 6:15 a.m. He was transferred to Medical Center Hospital and pronounced dead at 7:13 a.m. It's protocol for in-custody deaths to be reported to the Texas Commission on Jail Standards and then investigated by the Texas Rangers. The release states ECSO will fully cooperate with the investigation, and if there is any wrongdoing found, the personnel involved will be held accountable. Balmoray State Park to be expanded. TPWD acquisition will add 643 acres to West Texas Park, from staff reports. Balmoray State Park will be expanded after a 643-acre land acquisition recently completed by the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department. This acquisition, which was 7 years in the making, will increase the size of the current 108-acre park to a total of 751 acres. And enhance opportunities for nature trails, nature watching, and scenic overlooks. Included in the acquisition is Carpenter's Hill, which was originally part of the historic landscape of the park when built by the Civilian Conservation Corps in the 1930s. TPWD doesn't have a date for when this extra acreage for Balmoray will be open to the public. This acquisition was made through the Federal Land and Water Conservation Fund, which was established by Congress in 1964 to provide recreation opportunities such as parks. The fund invests earnings from offshore oil and gas leasing. Work is continuing on multiple construction projects at Balmoray State Park, including removal and replacement of all existing septic systems, replacement of the chain link fence surrounding the pool to one made of wrought iron and limestone, reconstruction of the CCC era pergola, completion of repairs to the campground and San Solomon courts, and renovations to the manager's house and concession building. Balmoray State Park, located north of Fort Davis, is home to one of the most unique aquatic environments in Texas. The San Solomon Springs. The springs are the perfect habitat for numerous species of aquatic animals, including two small endangered desert fishes, the Pecos gambusia and the Comanche Springs pupfish, according to the release. To find out more, visit tpwd.texas.gov. Obituaries and death notices for June 16th. Merced M.E. Esparza Valles. Merced M.E. Esparza Valles peacefully left this life on Sunday, June 14th, 2020. A rosary will be held at 7 p.m. Tuesday, June 16th at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Chapel in Midland. Funeral Mass will take place at 10 a.m. Wednesday, June 17th at Our Lady of Guadalupe Catholic Church. Internment will follow at Rest Haven North. M.E. is survived by his 8 children, Frank Valles and wife Angelica, Rudy Valles and wife Mary, Esther and husband Johnny, Eva and husband Ramiro, Tony Valles, Mary and husband Victor, Joe and wife Lucy, Roxanne and husband Gilbert. His sister, Guadalupe Garcia, 25 grandchildren and 22 great-grandchildren. Death notices. Benito Alaniz. Benny Alaniz, 47, passed away June 13th, 2020. Visitation will be held Tuesday, June 16th from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. A rosary will be recited at 7 p.m. at Stanton Memorial Funeral Home. Funeral Mass will be held Wednesday, June 17th, 2020 at 10 a.m. at St. Joseph's Catholic Church with Monsignor Tim Schwetner officiating. Internment will follow at St. Joseph's Catholic Cemeteries. His survivors include his mother, Juanita Alaniz, sister, Lisa Alaniz, and brother, Adolfo Alaniz. Due to COVID-19 restrictions, the services will be limited to immediate family only. Arrangements are under the direction of Stanton Memorial Funeral Home and Chapel.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, June 16th, 2020. Front page. New digs. Volunteers with the Dogs Rescue R Us organization throw dirt as they officially break ground on a new foster facility in Gardendale, Monday. The foster-based animal rescue nonprofit will be developing the new 1/2-acre donation into a facility to help house dogs while they search for an adoption family. Ben Powell, Odessa American. Rescue Breaks Gardendale Ground by Michael Bauer, M-B-A-U-E-R at OAOA.com. Gardendale, Dog Rescue RS, a foster-based animal rescue located in Midland, is getting a new facility soon and took a step closer to seeing that become a reality with a groundbreaking ceremony Monday. Located on 5036 Marigold Street in Gardendale, the rescue will develop a half acre of land that was recently donated to them by Rick Eicher. The facility will become another means of saving animals and provide temporary housing for the dogs while locating a new home for them. Dog Rescue RS is a nonprofit corporation that focuses primarily on rescuing dogs that have been abandoned, abused, dumped, neglected, or surrendered in Midland, Odessa, and other surrounding areas. Currently, the Dog Rescue is seeking $40,000 to build the facility. We have a lot of things that are being donated, Vice President of the Rescue, Dana Tinley, said, but we are in need of a lot of donations and sponsors to help us. The ministry began in January of last year and has now saved more than 8,000 dogs. The rescue transports their rescued dogs to 8 northern U.S. states and Canada. I've always had a love for animals, Tinley said. I had a dog that was very abused, and we started a pet rescue in Hobbs, New Mexico. And then when I moved here, I saw such a great need and met great people through all of this. We created a Dog Rescue RS when we moved here. Eicher is the owner of Gardendale Country Kennels, which is located right next to where the new facility will be located. There's such a need in not just Ector County, but in Midland County and the surrounding counties for more dogs to be rescued, Acker said. Having to put them down is something that we want to avoid as much as possible. Acker said he donated a land to help the organization have a place for their rescued dogs. We have plenty of land over to the side, and I saw a need for a place to foster the dogs during the interim period between when they're being rescued and finding their forever homes up north, Acker said. I thought, I'm not doing anything with this land, so I figured I would give them half an acre. Donations can be made to donorbox.org/dogrescuerus-nonprofit. A check can also be mailed directly to the organization's address at 4416 Briarwood Avenue, Suite 110, PMB 17. Follow Michael Bauer on Twitter at OAMICHAELBA. Man dies after being booked into Ector County Jail. OA News at OAOA.com. A 38-year-old man reportedly died after he was booked into the Ector County Law Enforcement Center early Monday morning. An Ector County Sheriff's Office press release detailed at 6:15 a.m. Monday, a 38-year-old black man was booked into jail at 1:33 a.m. and was found unresponsive. The inmate was reportedly transported by ambulance to Medical Center Hospital, ER, and was pronounced dead at 7:13 a.m. ECSO stated, as Texas Commission on Jail Standards Protocol, that the Texas Rangers were notified and are conducting the investigation, the press release detailed. The press release also detailed, if there was any wrongdoing by any personnel, they will be held accountable. Ector County Sheriff Mike Griffiths stated via text message Monday afternoon that suspending visits to inmates in the jail remains in effect by the TCJS until further notice. Sheriff Griffiths also detailed in a text message, "We will update as per Rangers so as not to inhibit their investigation." 50 New Cases Reported by Michael Merlo, M-M-E-R-L-O at OAOA.com. The Ector County Health Department detailed that there have been 50 new cases of COVID-19 in the county since last Friday during Monday's hospital briefing. Two of those new cases came from inmates at the Ector County Law Enforcement Center over the weekend, a health department press release detailed. Both inmates are now reportedly being isolated, and other potentially exposed inmates and staff members are being tested. Medical Center Hospital is assisting the county in testing symptomatic inmates and employees. The health department also detailed that the main source of exposure in Ector County cases is due to travel. Mayor David Turner said more information will be released this week regarding Odessa Fire Rescue's mobile testing sites. In a phone interview, the City of Odessa Public Information Officer, Devin Sanchez, said that the mobile testing will not be this week, like Turner said. "We are still trying to get that off the ground, and we are hopeful that we will have it next week, but we're still trying to secure locations accessible to the residents who truly need it." She added that the city is also developing marketing to inform the public of the details regarding the testing. Odessa Regional Medical Center Chief Medical Officer Rohit Sarvanan said that 50 new cases is a large spike and asked members of the community what they need from medical professionals as far as guidance during the pandemic. "Why are we going through such a sharp rise of numbers in our community?" he said. "What is it that we need to do to prevent this rise? We always talk about what it is that you guys as a community need to do, but now the question is, what do you need us to do? What resources do you need from us? Is it more education and more information about this disease process? Is it us looking at your plans for events? Is it more information about how many cases are actually happening and looking at the graphs? The county reported that 260 are confirmed cases of COVID-19, 63 are probable, 155 are pending, and 6 Ector County residents have died from COVID-19 related illness. 87 positive cases are active in the county. ORMC President Stacy Brown reported that out of 500 tests, 30 have been positive, 5 are pending, and 465 tests have had negative results. 2 ORMC patients are in the hospital, and both are on ventilators. MCH reported that they have had 158 positive cases, and 16 patients are in the hospital. 13 are on a designated floor, including 5 from focused care at Odessa Nursing Home, and 1 being direct admission from Crane Hospital. 3 patients are reportedly in the critical care unit. 2 of those patients are on ventilators. 50 MCH test results are pending. A Monday email from the Texas Health and Human Services Commission referencing focused care at Crane and focused care at Odessa detailed that they are actively investigating nursing homes to assess compliance with all relevant health and safety rules, and more information will be released after their investigation is complete. The email also detailed that they are investigating all long-term care facilities in Texas that report one or more positive case of COVID-19. A focused care at Crane press release detailed Monday that they currently have 23 residents in their community who are positive for COVID-19. They are reportedly screening staff members' temperatures at the beginning of every shift and then again halfway through their shifts, monitoring for signs and symptoms. We have been screening residents multiple times a day for symptoms as well, the release stated. COVID-19 news by the numbers. Ector County confirmed cases, 260. Ector County negative, 3,000 out of 3,415 tested, with 155 pending. 6 deaths. Midland County, 201 confirmed cases, with 13 deaths. Texas, 89,108 confirmed, with 1,499,015 tested. Total Texas deaths, 1,983. U.S. cases, 2,085,769 total confirmed, and 115,644 deaths. Find out more at co.ector.tx.us or dshs.state.tx.us or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. Quick hits. Telephone Town Hall. Dr. Paul Lawrence, Undersecretary for Benefits at the Department of Veterans Affairs, has scheduled a toll-free telephone town hall with Texas veterans as part of its nationwide mission to connect with more than 1 million veterans via phone prior to July 4th. The town hall will start at 4 p.m. today at 844-227-7557. During the call, Lawrence will take Texas veteran questions live over the phone. He will also inform veterans of new and existing benefits available to them, such as the Blue Water Navy program and efforts to combat veteran suicide. To date, the VA has connected with nearly 1 million veterans in 20 states as part of this nationwide outreach program. The VA expects that Tuesday's call in Texas will carry them past the million veteran mark. Texas veterans account for nearly 1.6 million veterans, or 10% of the national veteran population. This series of telephone town halls has allowed the VA's most senior leadership to directly connect with veterans across the country to ensure they receive the benefits they have earned, as well as reach veterans who might find themselves in crisis. You can read more about the VA's new outreach mission here. From Staff Reports. Closing prices. Posted, $33.50. Futures, $37.12. Natural gas, $1.669. Benchmark U.S. rose 86 cents to $37.12 per barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. This is Kay reading the Odessa American, Section A, page 3. Local News Roundup. Art Tales. Illinois Art Museum, 4909 East University Boulevard, has scheduled Art Tales at 10 a.m. Wednesday and June 24th. Art Tales is a story time followed by a fun art activity. Two groups will be offered, one for ages 3 through 5 and one for ages 6 through 12. Art Tales will take place outside in the garden and will have a limited number of participants. Only 20 people will be allowed in the garden for this program. The event is free and open to the public. To enroll or for more information, call 550-9696 or visit noelartmuseum.org. Job Fair. Creative Solutions in Healthcare Job Fair will take place from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Wednesday at the Marriott Hotel and Conference Center, 305 East 5th Street. Positions available include CNAs, LVNs, RNs, dietary, and housekeeping. Interviews and hiring on the spot. Sign-on bonuses for all positions. Location hiring: Buena Vida Nursing and Rehab, Deering's Nursing and Rehab, and Siena Nursing and Rehab. Face coverings highly recommended. OA News at OAOA.com. This is Kay reading the Odessa American for June 16, 2020. OAOA.com. ECISD considers Woodall's resignation. OA News at OAOA.com. The Ector County ISD Board of Trustees will consider the resignation of member Doyle Woodall during a meeting set for 6 p.m. today in the first floor boardroom of the administration building, 802 North Sam Houston Avenue. ECISD is taking steps to protect against the spread of COVID-19 with staff and in the community. All are required to stop at the front desk, have your temperature taken, and answer screening questions prior to accessing building. Visitors are required to wear face masks. Woodall has come under fire for Facebook posts that some consider offensive. A protest was held outside the administration building before the June 9th meeting, and people spoke against keeping Woodall on the board, but on other subjects as well. The board has the options of leaving Woodall's position for vacant, appointing someone to fill the rest of the term, which ends in 2021, or having a special election. The board will also hold a public hearing and consider the adoption of the 2020-2021 budget. Trustees discussed the 2020-21 budget, tax rates, and property values at the June 9th meeting. The 2019-20 budgeted revenues totaled just more than $299 million, but are now projected to be a little more than $301 million. Expenditures for this year are projected to be some $22 million lower than originally budgeted, mostly due to positions that were budgeted but remained vacant all year. That has allowed the district to rebuild its fund balance to about 4 months of expenses, which is higher than the state's guidelines of 3 months, the board recap said. Using current financial projections and a reduced estimate of 500 new students for next year, district officials are building a budget for revenues of $307,129,000 if ECISD receives all funding it is supposed to receive, the recap said. Officials will focus the additional dollars on board priorities like a cost of living increase for all employees and equity adjustments for hourly employees and others, additional money for schools with higher numbers of special education, economically disadvantaged, and English as a second language students, investing in pipelines that grow our own leaders, more counselors and more support for counselors, safety and security increases, updating technology so that every student has a digital tool, and facilities improvements like roofs and air conditioners. Officials will build a balanced budget from these projections with the ability to adapt as the financial situation changes, the recap stated. The board will also consider a $424,193 bid from Onyx General Contractors for a Permian High School baseball field restrooms facility project. Also, trustees will consider approval of a chief financial officer, director of human resources, and Permian High School principal. These were approved at a previous meeting. Delisa Stiles had been approved as the PHS principal, Deborah Otmers as the CFO, and Albert Valencia as the director of human resources at the April 20th meeting. Mike Atkins, the attorney for the school district, said this was put on the agenda because the names of the people approved were not announced in open session at the April 20th meeting after the board came out of executive session. That meeting was conducted over Zoom. An executive session will be held to consider the hiring of an executive director of curriculum and instruction, executive director of special services, an executive director of students and school support, and a campus principal for Hayes STEAM, STEAM Academy. Hayes principal Julie Marshall is moving to Dowling Elementary as principal. The board also will recognize Donna Smith as the outgoing president. Man charged with fatally shooting man. OA News at OAOA.com. A 29-year-old man was arrested after he reportedly fatally shot another man. Jonathan Roy Dawkins was charged with capital murder, a capital felony. The reported shooting happened at 3:38 a.m. Monday in the 1400 block of Wilshire Drive, an Odessa Police Department press release stated. Officers reportedly found a 23-year-old man who had been shot multiple times. The victim was pronounced dead at the scene, and next of kin were notified. Investigation showed that after a disturbance, Dawkins shot the victim multiple times before fleeing the scene on foot, the press release stated. The U.S. Marshals Lone Star Fugitive Task Force located Dawkins 1 p.m. Monday in San Angelo. Dawkins was charged, arrested, and transported to the Tom Green County Jail. The investigation continues. Charges dropped against former principal. OA News at OAOA.com. Charges against former Ector County ISD principal Linda Voss have been dropped. Charged with a Class A misdemeanor of failure to report in violation of a section under the Texas Family Code, Voss was booked into the Ector County Detention Center February 26, 2019, and released that day on a $1,000 surety bond. A Class A misdemeanor is punishable by up to a year in the county jail and up to a $4,000 fine, or both. County Attorney Dusty Gallivan stated in a text message that she completed her settlement agreement with ECISD, so the charge was dropped. A compromise and settlement agreement was reached in July 2019 between ECISD and Voss's Texas State Teachers Association attorney, but it was contingent on the county attorney dismissing the charges against her with prejudice. It had her retiring effective January 31st, 2020. Voss was represented by John Green and Michael McLeish. The case was dismissed in February. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for June 16th, 2020. Obituaries. Paul Andy Campbell. Odessa. Paul Andy Campbell, 60, of Odessa, Texas, passed from this life into the arms of his Lord and Savior on June 9th, 2020. He was born in Odessa, Texas, to the late Paul and Doris Campbell. Andy was a loving husband, father, and son. He was a no-nonsense man, while being considerate and compassionate of others. He was a man of great faith and loved God. He was a patriot and loved his country. He enjoyed playing golf. Those left to cherish his love and memories are his beloved wife of 30 years, Karen Campbell, daughter Bethany Dandridge, brothers Tom Campbell of Midland and Pat Campbell of San Diego, California, and numerous nieces, nephews, and cousins. He was preceded in death by his parents and oldest brother, Bobby Campbell. Memorial services will be Thursday, June 18, 2020, at 9:30 a.m. at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Arrangements are entrusted to Acres West, and condolences to the family may be sent online at acreswestfuneral.com. In lieu of flowers, donations in Andy's honor to Mission Messiah, missionmessiah.org/donate-now. Sandra Sandy Lee, Odessa. Sandra Sandy Lee made her eternal leap June 13, 2020, in Odessa, Texas. Funeral services will be held at 1 p.m. Wednesday, June 17, 2020, at Northside Baptist Church, with Reverend Claudel Chapman officiating. Burial will follow on Thursday, June 18, 2020, at Pecan Cemetery in Dublin, Texas. Sandy was born to May and Woody Askew, December 22, 1941, in Breckenridge, Texas. They later moved to Odessa, Texas, where she lived out her life, including being part of the first graduating class of Permian High School in 1960 and playing the French horn in the Mighty Mojo Band. She graduated from UTPB with a Bachelor of Science and held a certificate to be an elementary school teacher. Sandy married the love of her life, Claude Lee Sr., on November 12, 1977. She had an infectious laugh that always filled up the room. She loved life, classic automobiles, and her family. Sandy loved taking her 1964 Mustang, Sally, to car shows to show off its beauty, where she won many times. She is survived by her husband, Claude Lee Sr., her son, Charles Robert Hardwick, her stepchildren, Claude Chuck Lee, his wife Kisa, Joey Lee and his wife Julie, Donna Lee Barnes of Bassfield, Mississippi, her 13 grandchildren and 20 great-grandchildren. Sandy is preceded in death by her father, Woodrow W. Askew, and her mother, May Askew. Paul bearers will be Kendall Lee, Dylan Lee, Logan Lee, C.J. Lee, Jordan Lee, and Brendan Clanton. The family of Sandra wishes to extend our sincere thanks to Dr. Amin Valiani and the nurses of ORMC. Arrangements are entrusted to Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. To send family condolences, please sign the guest book at www.sunsetodessa.com. Death notices. Patricia Lorraine Ott Kelly, Odessa. Patricia Lorraine Ott Kelly, 80, died Saturday, June 13, 2020, in Odessa. Services are pending with Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Bertha Ann Najera Lopez, Fort Worth. Bertha Ann Najera Lopez, 60, of Odessa, died Thursday, June 11, 2020, in Fort Worth, Texas. Celebration of life is scheduled for 1 p.m. on Thursday, June 18, 2020, at Hope Alive Church. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery in Odessa 2 Garden. Pastor Cliff DeArmond is officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Jesus Salazar, Odessa. Jesus Salazar, 69, of Odessa, died Friday, June 12, 2020, in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 10 a.m. on Thursday, June 18, 2020, at St. Anthony's Catholic Church. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery in Odessa 2 section. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. This is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, June 16th, 2020, etc. Replace hip now or later? Dear Dr. Roach, I had a left hip replacement 5 years ago. I had severely reduced range of movement and pain. I have not been happy with the results of the first replacement. I walk daily, but some days I can hardly lift my left leg. The right hip now is bone on bone, according to x-rays. It does not cause me any pain or loss of movement. Two doctors have recommended replacement of my right hip. Will delaying the replacement of the hip and the continued bone on bone movement cause more damage? Or can I continue to hold off on the surgery until the pain becomes worse? J.M. Answer. Most people are very satisfied with the results of their joint replacement surgeries, both knee and hip. Over 90% of patients continue to work and have no pain or complications 15 years postoperatively. But that leaves some people with worse outcomes. Delaying surgery does not make surgery appreciably more difficult. However, the most common feedback I get from my patients who have undergone hip replacement surgery is that they wish they had had it done sooner. Almost 60% of hip replacements last 25 years. A less than perfect result on one side does not necessarily mean you will have a bad outcome on the second side as well. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach. Roach's column appears Tuesdays through Saturdays. Readers may write him at P.O. Box 536-475, Orlando, Florida, 32853-6475. Campaign for Office finds no support from sibling. Dear Abby, my oldest brother is running for a state office. Unlike me, he does not like animals. He has hauled litters of puppies off and shot at cats. In addition, he refuses to help our elderly parents. Family or not, I don't want someone to be a leader in our state capital who exhibits such poor moral and unethical behavior. He has been married several times, and I know for a fact he cheated on one of his wives. I avoid attending his fundraiser and asking for votes, but other family members keep telling me that blood is thicker than water and that I must vote for him regardless of his behavior. Of course, behind the curtain, I can vote for whoever I want, but should I cave to the pressure to show up in support of him at public events? Even my husband said I should donate money to his campaign because he is family. What is your opinion? Non-supporter in the South. Dear non-supporter, If you do not support a candidate, keep your checkbook closed. And as to showing up to endorse your brother's run for office, continue to refrain and cross your fingers that your absence won't be noticed amidst all the excitement. If your husband wants to donate to your morally degenerate brother's campaign, it is his choice, and he has a right to it, just as you have a right to yours. P.S. Anyone who would shoot at a defenseless animal and neglect his aged parents, honor thy father and thy mother, really doesn't belong in any office. Dear Abby, my wife of 39 years decided 2 weeks ago to cease all communication with me. We had a sometimes rocky marriage, but since becoming empty nesters 6 months ago, we have enjoyed a rebirth of our relationship. Long walks, games, fun meals, concerts, etc. 2 weeks ago, we had what I thought was a minor disagreement about the use of a credit card. Since then, she has treated me like I don't exist. She answers my questions with one word only, or no response. I have begged her to talk to me about what's wrong. She just turns away. She has altered her daily schedule to avoid having contact with me. I am shattered. What can I do? Clueless in Tennessee. Dear Clueless, it's time to review why your marriage to this woman was rocky. Stop begging, step back, and count yourself fortunate that you have had this reminder. Counseling might help you and your wife to communicate in a healthier way if she is willing to try. However, if she isn't, you will have to decide how much more punishment you are willing to tolerate when you disagree, and what is realistic to do about it if you aren't. Dear Abby, we have a neighbor whose adult son has gotten into trouble with the law. His mom and dad are devastated and have withdrawn from all of us. How do we handle it when we see them around the neighborhood? Do we ignore the elephant and just say hi? Do we ask them how their son is doing? It's so sad to see them suffer, and we don't know what to do. What to do in the East? Dear, what to do? When you see your neighbors, be cordial, make polite conversation, and if they mention their son, listen to what they have to say and be supportive, but not judgmental. Dear Abby, Abigail Van Buren. Write Dear Abby at P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069, or visit www.dearabby.com.
Jacqueline Bigger's Stars by Madeline Aslan. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. A baby born today has a sun in Gemini and a moon in Aries until 4:35 a.m. when the moon enters Taurus. Happy birthday for Tuesday, June 16, 2020. Patient and psychic, you know exactly when to act. This guarantees your success this year, especially as you are so adept at turning misfortunes to your advantage. If single, you tend to be suspicious of new people, so it will take a long time to find your true mate. If attached, you pour your energy into your passionate relationship, but must learn to sustain it for longevity. Capricorn gives the soundest advice. Aries, March 21 through April 19. 3 stars. Elements of surprise are brewing regarding finances. New demands in your field might lead you to market your saleable job skills differently. At the same time, your values are shifting. You treasure different things than you used to. Tonight, you reinvent your financial strategy. Taurus, April 20 through May 20. 4 stars. A friend helps you with a career opportunity. You might meet intriguing people through this work. Work effectively blesses a cherished relationship. Invest in new fashions or artwork to beautify yourself and your surroundings. Tonight, exactly as you would like it. Gemini, May 21 through June 20, 2 stars. It is time to release restrictive links to the past, such as worn-out possessions or a relationship you have outgrown. Someone close to you wants to try a new project. Allow this to happen. Do not create any obstacles. Tonight, early Betty buys. Cancer, June 21 through July 22. 4 stars. Your circle of friends, which is always varied, expands even further. A new group affiliation introduces you to some fascinating new characters who will brighten your day. Evaluate goals and future projects. Tonight, you become more aware of how treasured friendships enrich your life. Leo, July 23 through August 22. 5 stars. Previous work and preparation begin to lead to progress today. An opportunity arises, or your ambitions build to the point where you create your own break. If you have been undecided about a career issue, inspiration comes suddenly. Tonight, catch up with an elderly relative. Virgo, August 23 through September 22. 5 stars. Today shows wider mental horizons developing. You develop deeper insight into your own nature. You have grown bored of old concepts and long to learn something new. It is also a good cycle for the pursuit of higher education. Tonight, discussion groups are very helpful. Libra, September 23 through October 22. 2 stars. Shared finances are a huge discussion point today. Fate seems to play a large part in your available options at the moment. Adapt to what the universe has to offer. It might not be what you were expecting. Tonight, get a good night's sleep. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21. 3 stars. Be very aware of how the advice and influence of others impacts you today. Companions might exaggerate or be innocently misinformed. Resist high-pressure sales pitches. Graciously accept that some friends have developed new priorities. Tonight, dinner with loved ones. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21. 3 stars. Relationships have a direct bearing on your wellness. Consider joining an online exercise group. Companionship and emotional support do wonders for your well-being. Because others impact your health so profoundly, you can be vulnerable to psychic vampires. Tonight, beware of those. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19. 5 stars. You are cherished and admired today. A child expresses love and devotion. Pursue a creative project. It is a marvelous time to study music or to plant a garden. Consider designing a garden with the goal of providing fresh vegetables. Tonight, online date night. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18. 4 stars. An old family secret might come to light. Romantic relationships have new promise for growth. It is a favorable day to make decisions about commitments. Talk to a family member and ask him or her for advice. Tonight, enjoyable invitations come your way. Pisces, February 19 through March 20. 4 stars. Some variety would be appreciated today. A change of scene refreshes and inspires you. Much is learned through emails and calls. Commuter travel accelerates in importance. A neighbor becomes a much better friend. Tonight, learn the power of written affirmations. Born today, Leader Geronimo, 1829, comedian Stan Laurel, 1890, rapper Tupac Shakur, 1971.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.